Wearing a lampshade for entertainment purposes only, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The only podcast with a lazy, lazy audience. He attended 3 Beatles concerts full of screaming girls and lived to tell the tale. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, if it isn't Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast time again, as announced by my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan. Thank you, Drew, for that wonderful introduction. Drew McMillan just joined a Canadian gathering of his father's relatives, and they all were enjoying and celebrating the 100th birthday of his grandfather. They call him Dr. Bob. Robert McMillan had a long life as a medical doctor, still enjoying a long life. He's just not practicing medicine anymore. And all of his relatives were gathered around. He's got lawyers and highly accomplished people in his family. But yet he's very proud of his Scottish heritage. When Drew and his lovely bride Magda got married a couple of years ago, he was wearing his kilt proudly. And I'm happy to see that he's still hale and hearty and enjoying life at age 100. I hope I'll be able to say the same thing about me. Now, I've got a lot of complaints every day. People say, well, you know, maybe you won't be enjoying life when you turn age 100. But if I keep complaining, I'm hoping that all of the things I complain about are going to be solved by the time I turn 100. Anyway, so Drew McMillan is my Canadian nephew. He's my sister's oldest child, and he does our podcast introductions every episode, and I couldn't be happier. Randy reminded me not long ago that I need to make sure that we get some more of those added to our file, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to make sure that happens so that we have an unlimited supply of podcast episode introductions. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. Often people have asked me, why do you call it Medicare for the Lazy Man? Isn't that a little insulting for your audience, your target audience of people that are thinking about Medicare, that have to learn about Medicare, and they're approaching that Medicare age when they have to enroll in Medicare? And I say, no. It is not insulting at all. I am talking to people who really don't want to have to go to the effort, to the trouble of learning about Medicare. It's a government program, and it's confusing to a lot of people. And frankly, it should have been made simpler for people. And I came along and figured out how to explain it in a very simplified way. So if people choose to buy my book and spend an hour and 15 minutes or so reading it, then they will know more than 90% of the people that live in this United States about Medicare. And I think many of the confusing elements of Medicare will have been explained in such a satisfactory way that people will not have any trouble making the decisions that they need to make in order to approach Medicare with the expectation of a long and happy relationship with Medicare. Won't cost them a lot of money to have the finest coverage of and protection available on the insurance market today. And they won't have to worry about annual rechecking of what they bought. Like, oh, maybe it changed. Well, that happens with plans that I don't recommend. Medicare Advantage plans are able to be changed legally to something that you would not have purchased. And they can do that any time of the year, but you're only allowed to change, if you have one of these plans, once a year. So I only sell products that will stay on as you understood them forever and ever, and they will not change out from under you. They will always perform exactly as I have described them when you made that purchase. So having said that, with all due respect, I would like to introduce Randy Carson, who is on the other side of the screen, trying to make this podcast sound better, trying to make me sound better than I normally would. So he's turning knobs, sliding slides, and behind him is a vast ocean that he's enjoying. Looks a little green around the gills. I don't know. Are those gills that you're green around, Randy?
Well, actually, no. Those are my headset. That's my headset.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't know that.
It's supposed to make me look really professional.
Ah, okay.
Does it?
They look like earmuffs. They look like earmuffs, Randy.
I used to have earmuffs this way, except for they were red. Hey, did you know those ones, they curled up and you could stick them in your pocket and they were fuzzy?
Yes.
You remember how difficult those were when you were like a second grader? You just about get them unwound and onto your head and they'd snap out of your hand and hit the snow?
Well, what was worse was when the other second graders would come up behind you and snap them on your head. Because they knew what was going to happen. You know, if I mastered getting them on without causing myself any pain, that was one thing. But I could count on the other kids in the class coming up behind me and snapping them on my head.
Or worse yet, you remember how you could slide them in and out to adjust them?
Yep.
If you get a hunk of hair caught in the slide.
Well, I grew up back in the 50s when we all had buzz cuts. It was like we were in the army. My father had enough hair to comb. He looked very suave and deboner. And when I told him, hey, you know something, I want to have longer hair so I can comb it too. I want to have hair just like you. He had this lame excuse. He said, well, the only reason I have long hair is because when I was a kid, somebody threw a rock at me and now I have a scar on the back of my head. And I thought about that. I thought, you know something, it doesn't matter if you have a scar or not. I want to have long hair. But it took me years in order to be able to gain enough maturity to be able to decide on my own haircut. And so I didn't have hair long enough to get caught inside my sliding earmuff metal thing or whatever.
Oh, speaking of hair, I mean, I got a lot of things to talk about today, but before we move on.
Do any of them have anything to do with Medicare at all?
Yes, they do.
Oh, good. Okay. Let's go then. The floor is yours.
There's a very light association, but yes.
Well, I could use I'm going to put my feet up on the desk and let you take over.
Okay, so here you go. This is a multiple choice question. We haven't done Stump the Insurance Expert for a while.
Okay.
This is a multiple choice expert. When I was a child, what was the price of my haircut? 50 cents, 75 cents, or a buck and a quarter?
I would go a buck and a quarter. And you know why? Because you got a large head. You got a large head.
Well, yeah, they charge it by mileage. So, you know, there's a lot of square footage on my head, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think it's probably it was an expensive proposition then. And it still is, apparently, because you go to a place to get a haircut now and it's typically a woman. I mean, I don't see a lot of old barbershops, old style.
No. I go to a stylist who happens to be a woman, and but she's also a barber. So it helps a little bit. And I know that, you know, people are going to write in and tell you that I'm full of hot air. But I believe that someone who's trained in the barberhood does have a little bit different approach on cutting your hair for your guy, especially if they trim your beard. Because I know that if you're a stylist, it's two different licenses. If you're a stylist, they don't train you on how to trim beards. Now, obviously, that's not a big deal if you're a woman.
I would think not. You don't encounter that too often.
No, you don't. But I have a stylist that's also a licensed barber. And she, every once in a while, I have a trim up the old beard and I come out looking like $1 million. It doesn't last for long. And as a good friend of mine used to say, I come out looking like $1 million, all green and wrinkled. But I do have this is actual Medicare stuff now. So moving on, we talked in the last episode about somehow you could get 8 COVID tests per month sent to your home for free.
Right.
Is that true?
Go to cms.gov and sign yourself up for eight. I think they package them in 2 packs of 4 tests.
Why, you know, we talked about this in the last episode, why any person known to mankind would need 8 per month, which would break down into 2 per week. What, as I said earlier, Where are you going? Where are you hanging out?
That's going to cut into my drinking time right there.
I know. I know. Well, anyway, I was going to share my personal experience about COVID tests.
Please do.
The accuracy or the lack thereof.
Okay.
Back in the day, my first COVID test, you know, you were had to go line up, you know, and I was driving my Jeep. So I drove up to the local, you know, school or wherever it was they were giving the test and had to, you know, worm around through the parking lot like I was waiting to see a grand movie. And anyway, my time up at the testing station finally arrived and they pulled out this thing that looked like a bottle brush. And they shoved it up my nose. And I swear to God, they touched my brain stem. Go, oh, this won't hurt. No, it doesn't hurt. But boy, I'll tell you, it sure is uncomfortable. And then they drug that thing out of there and said, OK, you're all done. Well, that one, as you might imagine, came back totally no COVID. So I'm going, yes, yes. All OK, right. that's a good thing. Good.
Yeah, it was worth it all.
I like that result. So then. Next time around, and I, you know, you get, you know, exposed to, you know, like somebody across the street or Lord forbid, you've got like a Medicare Advantage salesman standing in your front yard. But anyway, I got exposed again. So I go, I'm going to go get another COVID test, except where I went for the bigger or the more accurate version, supposedly, the saliva test.
Okay.
I said, okay, this has got to be the top of the line here.
Now, when you go for a saliva test, do they give you saliva or do you give them saliva?
Yeah, you can buy saliva. It comes in a you can, you know, it's like anything else. You can buy anything you want, but you know, I took my own. Okay. And I used my own. So anyway, that came back purely negative. No, you're good to go. Not a trace of COVID in you. Well, guess where I was 2 weeks hence.
I'm guessing that you were in the hospital, but you didn't know where you were, which is the funny part of the story.
I was in the hospital. I couldn't breathe. I had no freaking clue where I was. And they said, oh, by the way, you've got COVID. Yeah. Well, yeah, right. I'm glad I got these two tests before I came. Otherwise,
you were fine.
Yeah. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had to give me a third test. But anyway, folks, for those of you on the podcast, I had a really bad case of it, and it tried to kill me off, but it didn't make it.
It did not.
Could not do it. I survived, but I was in the hospital for a little bit over 2 weeks. And so,
frankly, I think if I recall correctly, Margaret came home, had a pretty severe case, and she wound up in the hospital for like 3 or 4 days. And
she was in for a week.
Oh, was she? Okay. And then when she got out, it was kind of like you all of a sudden came down with it right then.
Yeah. You probably heard this before, but a lot of guys don't like to go see the doctor. Well, I'm one of those guys.
Oh, me too.
And I said, I can live through this. It's not going to get me. And by the end of the second day after it had gotten me, my son-in-law came over and drug me out of the house, said, you're going. To the hospital. And it's probably a good thing he did, because it wasn't too far after that I literally could not breathe.
Right. And the fun part of the story was that every day in the hospital, they would ask you where you were.
Yes.
Every guess you made was wrong.
Every time they come in, here's how it went. We're required. I think it was because I was on Medicare and I had a supplemental plan, by the way. Certainly wasn't Medicare Advantage.
Good for you.
So anyway, I'm in there and they said, we have to ask you this question. I think it was because of Medicare. And they said, where are you? And I'd think and think and think. And those of you on the, you know, on the podcast probably have heard about COVID fog. Well, literally, I could not tell this guy where I was. And I go, well, that's kind of disconcerting in my little brain. I can't tell him where I'm at. So then he said, and then the next day he comes in. So me being an IT guy, I'm a little bit prone to using technology. So the next day before he came in and said, where are you? I had looked it up on my cell phone based on GPS coordinates.
But how in the hell did you figure out how to use your cell phone GPS, but yet you couldn't figure out what part of the town you're in, for Christ's sake?
Well, I have a setting on my phone that when I pull up Google Maps, based on GPS, it'll hone me in onto where I'm at.
But it sounds like that's more challenging than just kind of knowing where you are. You actually jump through some technical hoops in order to use a tool to figure out where you were, where it seems like there might have been simpler ways that you were too fogged up to figure out.
Well, like that's true.
Ask a nurse or ask the
orderly. Ask a nurse. I could have done that. I probably could have looked at the information sheet underneath the phone. I probably could have done a lot of things.
You could have called the you know, operator and said, ma'am, where am I?
Where am I? So no, it was an interesting experience that I don't want to repeat again, but just for those of you who are on the podcast, I know what it's like when the zombie apocalypse comes down.
Yeah, you looked in a mirror and you saw what the zombie apocalypse was going to look
like.
Right.
That's right.
Well, listen, I thought we should probably, instead of dwelling on your misfortune, or actually your good fortune for having survived in such great shape, I've got an article here that was written by Diane Omdahl. Now, we've read a lot of her stuff over the past. She's in Wisconsin, and she has she's a Medicare expert who does not sell Medicare-related insurance like I do. The altruism of it. Although she does charge a monthly fee to be able to access all of her information. But she is expert, and she does write some interesting things once in a while, and I like to share those with the audience whenever I stumble across them. So this article came my way last March 3rd, and the title of the article is, Are Your Parents Paying Their Medicare Premiums? Now, this would address those people who have parents that are older, and that makes the people younger. The people don't think about Medicare because they're way too young, probably in their 40s, 50s, maybe, but their parents are on Medicare. And so it may be that at some point, some of these parents are going to need a little supervision or a little guidance in order to make sure that their Medicare protection is not jeopardized by some sort of lapse. And so the article goes on to say, when parents fail to pay their Medicare premiums, everyone suffers. The sandwich generation, those who are parents and also have aging parents, so they've got kids and they have parents to take care of, they face many responsibilities. One of the most important may be checking that their parents are paying Medicare premiums. Here are two examples that demonstrate what can go wrong. Bart, now this is Diane Omdahl talking here. Bart, my friend, lives in Illinois. His parents have resided in Florida for over 20 years. Last fall, his mother called him. She had been admitted to the hospital and wanted Bart to fly down to care for his father, who has early Alzheimer's disease. A week after Bart arrived in Florida, he got a call from a hospital billing supervisor about making arrangements for the payment of his mother's care. He asked why that was necessary, because his mother had a Medicare supplement plan F, which is supposed to pay for everything. There should be no bills. The supervisor told him the policy was no longer in force. It was no longer active. Bart discovered that his father had not paid premiums for over 16 months, and the policies for both parents were canceled. Bart had to help his folks with the costs that Part A and Part B did not cover. His parents reapplied for supplements. However, without a guaranteed issue right, they did not qualify. Their health conditions did not allow them to obtain new Medicare supplement insurance. I heard about this second situation from a financial advisor. For years, Karen had the same drug plan with a monthly premium around $20. And then in January of 2021, she got an invoice for $52. That's a $30 per month increase in her premium. She found out her old plan had been discontinued and she was enrolled automatically in a new one. I can tell you what company it was that did this to her, because I had to scramble to make sure that my clients were not victimized by this particular insurance company. So anyway, Karen did not pay attention during open enrollment, which lasts from October to December. She was caught off guard. She took only one medication, so she figured paying out of pocket was cheaper than the premium. So she stopped paying the invoices and her drug plan was canceled for non-payment. In August, Karen was diagnosed with deep vein thrombosis, That's blood clots in her legs. Without drug coverage, she was responsible for the full cost of the drug, over $500 per month. Karen couldn't afford the medication, so her daughter helped with the cost and convinced her mother to enroll in a drug plan during open enrollment. Now, what isn't mentioned here is that she probably had to pay a monthly late enrollment penalty that would follow her for the rest of her life. This is why I tell all of my clients, get a drug plan whether you need it or not. If you don't need the drug plan because you don't take any drugs, get the very cheapest drug plan that I can find for you, which is going to cost you around $7 a month. And that way you will never be subjected to the late enrollment penalty that they'll hit you with if you don't sign up when you're eligible. So anyway, what can you do? In both of these situations, the adult children faced ramifications because they had no idea that their parents were not paying premiums. If you have parents on Medicare, here are some tips to help ensure that the premiums are being paid so they and you don't face crushing problems. First of all, get the necessary authorization in case you must speak for your parents. Individuals who are considered competent can do many of the following steps without your or with your support and guidance. However, too many times, premiums are not paid because a parent has cognitive issues. You mean cognitive problems, I think. You may have powers of attorney, but these won't work with Medicare. Here's what you should do. Become your parent's Medicare authorized representative. This will authorize you to speak to Medicare. Investigate becoming a Social Security representative payee. You will be able to talk with Social Security about your parents if necessary. Also, check with their Medicare plans, their Part D drug plan, their Medicare Advantage, or their Medicare supplement plan about becoming a representative. Each insurer is going to have its own process. Do what is necessary so that you can step in to help as needed. Figure out what type of coverage your parents have. The type of coverage determines the procedures for paying premiums. Start by checking cards in their wallets or invoices. If you see prescription drug plan, they have a standalone Part D plan. If you see Medicare Advantage, it's a Medicare Advantage plan. Well, I think we knew that. If you see Medicare supplement insurance, it's what's commonly also referred to as Medigap. If the cards and invoices are lost, you can get information from either their MySSA accounts or their MyMedicare.gov accounts if you have the proper authority. Set up deductions for Part D drug or Medicare Advantage plans. These plans can deduct payments automatically from your parents' Social Security benefits when requested to do so. If not receiving benefits, your parents can make auto-pay arrangements with the plan. That means having the money drawn from their checking account. If your parent is not able to deal with a plan representative and needs your assistance, you likely will need to be an established representative for the specific plan, as noted above. Contact the Medigap or the Medicare Supplement Insurance Company about payments for a policy. Automatic Social Security deductions don't work with Medicare supplement policies. Your parents or you will need to contact the insurer. Auto payment from a checking or savings account is probably the safest option. Also, know that a Medigap policy or a Medicare supplement policy is guaranteed renewable. If the premiums are paid, the insurer cannot cancel this policy, no matter what happens. Confirm payment confirm payment arrangements for Part B medical insurance. The parents in the two examples cited were receiving Social Security benefits, so Part B premiums were deducted automatically from the monthly amount. No action was necessary. However, if they had not yet applied for benefits, they could consider a Medicare Easy Pay automatic deductions from a checking or saving account. Once auto payments are in place, spot check your parents' checking or savings account. If your folks change accounts, they need to notify Social Security and their individual plans about the change and make new payment arrangements. Just in case, know about a plan's procedures for grace periods and non-payment of premiums. Now, a grace period is the time that they'll let you go without having paid the premium. If the premium is late, and they carry you without the premium having been paid, it'll be called a grace period, and you got to find out how long that grace period is so that you know how much time you have to get the premiums in arrears paid up so that the insurance protection is not jeopardized. Medicare has established procedures for non-payment of premiums for Part B and Part D drug and Medicare Advantage plans. Check with the Medicare supplement insurer about its protocol. The policies I reviewed have a 31-day grace period. I've heard that they're longer than that. That's just my experience is that the companies I deal with basically have a longer, like a 2-month period during which time, if somebody has screwed up, then the plan will not be taken away. And there'll be an additional time period to catch up those premium payments. So the last paragraph, it is likely that it will take time to put the right measures in place to ensure your parents' Medicare premiums are paid. However, in the long run, it'll save everybody time, money, headaches, and more important, a loss of coverage that comes with cancellations. So that's pretty good advice if there are people in your life that have to be supervised so that their bills get paid on time. Make sure that your Medicare supplement premiums are paid and up to date so that that coverage doesn't go away. I would ask if you have anything to add to that, Randy, but it seemed so complete and had such a wonderful ending.
Yes. Well, I had several questions.
Okay.
As happens frequently, you went ahead and answered them later on in your discussion points. So I've got nothing to say other than you really need to keep track because, as you might imagine, you can get in a real place of hurt quickly if you're not getting all your insurance payments made. You can't imagine how quickly bills can mount up in the hospital, but oh boy, do they.
Oh, do they ever, yeah. In fact, that reminds me, the little hospital that I went to here that treated me for the pneumonia and the COVID that I accurately diagnosed, thank you very much, they sent me a letter. It's kind of weird because I have a Medicare supplement plan, and they sent me a letter that said, your insurance company notified our office that they are unable to complete your claim until additional insurance coverage information is received related to services you received from our facility. They will not process your claim without receiving your response. Well, if an adult with adult parents gets a letter like this, it could be an indication that the parents have stopped paying the premium and the insurance went away. So I've got to call these guys. This is what I love about American business. They say down at the bottom of the stationery that they're open and available for me to call between 7:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. So yesterday I called at 5:00 and I got a recording. Our office is closed.
All right. Are you reading on the bottom of that form letter again?
So I called back, same thing. And the form letter says 7:30 a.m. to 7 p.m., but at 5:00 Arizona time, it did not respond. So
did not work.
Yeah, I'm going to try earlier today.
You know, but, you know, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people, probably me, and I mean, if I didn't know you, I was going to say me included, if I got a letter like that, I would be panicked.
Well, they shouldn't be panicky. People should not be panicked about something like this, because I believe the reason is going to be something silly, like you didn't show your ID card when you came in for treatment. And I know for a fact that I did, because I have all of my ID cards, my driver's license, and my Medicare supplement ID card, my Medicare card, and my business card saying Medicare for the Lazy Man, all of that on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. And I just hand one of those pieces of paper to the person, the clerk, and they say, okay, do you want this back? And I say, nope, you keep it. And then they say, would you autograph it for me, Mr. Jones? And I say, only for $10. And they never want to pay the 10 bucks. But
oh, darn it.
I know for a fact I gave them my card. So they're going to try to tell me that I did not provide my Medicare supplement ID card. I'm pretty sure I can predict how this conversation is going to go.
You know what you could do, Doug?
Oh, what's that?
Have them stand in front of the counter holding that piece of information paper as a selfie with you.
Yes, I'm going to take your picture holding up my identification. And it's got like 8 things on it, the fronts and the backs of all these cards and everything else. It's going to be, it's a colorful and interesting looking piece of paper, but there's no mistaking. It's what I hand to every clerk who asks me if I have my ID cards with me.
You know, that's a great idea. I never thought about that. I'm going to get myself one of those because I always have to depend on, obviously I depend on Margaret, but, you know, I don't know anything. I just show up where I'm told, we're going to do this today. Okay, good. I'll be there. What time? But anyway, that's probably the best idea I've heard to handle all this crap.
Yeah. And it lasts for years until, we changed your drug plan. So yeah, that meant you had a different card. And so you can just take that thing and scan it with the new card in place of the old card. And then you're good to go for anything they ask you. Just whip out this piece of paper and hand it to them and say, you know, you can keep it. In fact, the guy at that little hospital said, you're like the patient of the year. Of course, I've got pneumonia and COVID. You know, I didn't care about his compliments at the time. But
and meanwhile, the radio, was it the X-ray guy?
Yeah, the X-ray guy. Yeah. How did you physically arrive at our facility?
Well, let's see. I flew in on my broomstick. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm going to fly out with you impaled on it, buddy.
I'm glad you brought that up, Doug, because I had never thought about that. That is the best idea that costs nothing that I can possibly think of.
It is. It'll keep you busy for about 20 minutes while you photocopy everything and scan it onto a piece of paper. And then you can tell your printer, give me 10 of these things. It'll last you for years and years and years. But when you go to a doctor's office, you don't have to take out all those stupid cards. All you have to do is hand them a piece of paper and then they'll try to give it back to you. And you can look like a real pro. You can say, nope, you keep it.
Nope, that's for you. I'll leave an autograph of it if you want. Well, that, you know, as I've said before, Doug, every time we have one of these recording sessions, I always learn something. But that is I know you're going to think I'm teasing, but I'm not. That is a real notable piece of gold you just laid out there.
Well, next time I'll hold up the one I use and you can see how simple it is. Once you get all those cards photocopied and scanned onto a piece of paper, your life is going to be a little easier when you have to go see a doctor, which, as you and I agree, is going to be infrequent as we can make it.
I don't like to be any more doctors than I have to. So anyway, we have again come to the end of our yacht sailing here today. But there's a couple things I was just going to mention. Going to ask a question. You were going to, you know, get with your nephew Drew about some more introductory work.
Yes.
Is Nora going to be involved in any of that? Is she old enough yet?
I think it's going to be a lot of goo-gooing and drooling if Nora gets involved. And so I think we're going to wait for the next go around to include her.
Okay. Okay.
Also, and the only other, she has those baby size headphones that you sent.
What? They never got them. Oh my God.
I've never seen her wearing them.
I'll have to check. Yeah. I got some little pink baby headphones.
There you go.
The other thing I was going to mention is, the grace period on supplemental. Okay. So the grace period you were mentioning, is that on Medicare itself, A and B, or is that on supplementals too?
Grace period I've heard, the companies do not want you to lose your coverage. And so they've been more generous than Diane Omdahl described in her article here. She said 31-day grace period. That means if you don't pay your premium and you're 31 days late, they're going to take your coverage away from you right then. My experience, and it's not for every insurance company, but my experience has been that they're more generous than that. If the premium is like 2 months late, that's when you're in dire straits. And they won't pay a claim until you catch up, but they won't take your coverage away for 2 months is what I have seen. So it'd be a good idea for somebody to call their insurance company and say, hey, how long do I have if something goes wrong before you take my coverage away?
Yeah. And the reason I wanted to ask you that, Doug, is that if they're going to snap your coverage on the 31st day, that seems a little premature in that if you didn't pay one payment, by the time the next payment's due, you're screwed.
Yeah, it's a statutory thing. Insurance companies used to, there were some less than scrupulous insurance companies who basically took the coverage away from people that had trouble knowing that there were going to be medical bills coming down the pike. But then the laws changed and insurance companies had to have a minimum of 31-day grace period so that you have room to make a mistake and correct that mistake. But it's been my experience that many of these companies offer 2 months, not 1 month. So let's say that your parent needs help, or, you know, let's say my wife goes nuts. She pays all the bills around here. If she goes, if she gets a little case of the Alzies, I've got more than 1 month to figure out that the bills aren't getting paid. And that means the insurance company is going to send me a late notice and say, hey, she didn't pay the bill. You might want to get on the stick here. And,
yeah.
So that it's good to know that they don't want to lose you as a policyholder.
Yeah, that is good to know. That is good to know. Well, you know, bottom line is we're out of time. I just wanted to thank everybody for, you know, spending time with us today, because there was, in my estimation, there was a lot of good information that came your way today. But as I always ask, you know, get to Amazon, buy yourself a paperback or two. We had a really good sale on last week. Do you think, Doug, that we should extend that sale?
Okay, let's do that, because it was a genius, a marketing genius like you.
It was.
It was the only one that could figure that out.
Let's go ahead and extend it. The sale is, if you buy three copies, pay for three copies of Doug's paperback, you get three copies.
Yeah, that's, you can't beat that.
It's awesome. And then now keep looking for the audio, because I've heard that that's a great piece of music to put you to sleep with. It's good to listen to as you're rolling around waiting to hit the sleep button on your clock, and the Kindle. Don't forget the Kindle. And ultimately,
I'm counting on my fingers. I'm about to run out of fingers. We have product for everybody.
We do. And, you know, someday we've talked about it. And I'd be curious if you could write into Doug and let him know if you have interest in Medicare for the Lazy Man merchandise.
Oh, boy. T-shirts and stuff.
T-shirts, hats. You got it. I think it would, there's a, if we had a way to, you know, put a few T-shirts on the market with the Lazy Man logo
I've
on it.
Got it. I just had a genius thought. You brought it out. I mean, I wouldn't have had this thought if it hadn't been you bringing that up. How about Medicare for the Lazy Man COVID tests?
Yes, home absolutely. COVID tests. Home COVID tests. We can do that.
Yeah, we could send a ton of them. We can make the government look like a bunch of pikers. We can send 20 a month to everyone.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. Well, we need to get out of here because we're running out of fuel. Do we use, it's diesel in the yacht, right?
Yeah, we're not up to nuclear yet, so I think it's going to have to be diesel.
The nuclear, we're not there yet, but so we're still cooking around on the diesel, but it's really low grade diesel, because, you know, the diesels in a ship don't take much. But no. Anyway, long story short is you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, and the guy that is, once again, just like last episode, bringing the yacht in to the harbor and just barely brushing the dock before he throws out the ropes.
That's going to make me look like a pro, huh?
Yep, absolutely. And they're not called ropes, by the way. If you're in the Navy, it's called a line.
Yeah, they're lines. That's right.
They're lines. They're actually called Hauser lines, in case you really want to know.
All right, we got to get out of here. Bye-bye, folks.